as hard as it is to imagine right now, with the way the weather is outside and the kind of winter that we have had, it really won't be long until the temperatures will warm and the ground will begin to thaw out and the conditions will become right for seed to be planted in the fields and in gardens, and a new season of growth will happen. Ground will be tilled, and as I said, seed will be planted, fertilizer applied, weeds will be exterminated or eliminated, bugs will be eradicated, all of those things that goes into keeping up a garden or a field bearing crops. And then as God works through the process of nature, there will be a harvest of good produce or beautiful flowers or whatever it is that's growing. And we understand that about the agricultural cycle, but sometimes we forget that this is how God works also when it comes to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. It involves a process over time, and God calls us to participate in it. And that's the important thing that I want you to think about today. It's a process, it's a partnership with God, because he wants to use each of us in that process, so it's a partnership with him, but he calls us to participate. And Jesus illustrated this very principle in this way when he spoke these words that are recorded in the Gospel of John, John chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. He said to them, Do you not say, there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look to the fields, for they are already white with harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. So what is Jesus saying here? Well, first of all, he's taking a common principle that everybody understood in the culture of the day, and we understand it in our culture today, the agricultural principle. And he said, even though there are seasons when it comes to agriculture where you say, okay, well, you know, we're going to plant now, and then in 4 months or whatever, the harvest will come, and then we'll reap that. He says, when it comes to spiritual things, don't make excuses to wait. That's literally what he's saying here. Don't make excuses to wait, because right now there is a harvest, so to speak, ready. God has been at work in people's hearts and minds and souls and spirits, and there are many people who are ready to respond to the message of Christ and what God has done in their life. So again, it's very clear here, though he was using that object lesson of what was around them, he was speaking to the spirit and the soul of people, because he mentions here that we can sow and reap, and that reaping gathers fruit for eternal life. So it's obvious he was not just talking about a physical harvest at the time. And that's what you and I need to think about today. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, he does call you to participate in this process. If you have responded to Jesus in his offer of grace in your life by trusting him as your Savior and asking him to come into your life, to forgive you and to help you live for him, he calls you also to participate in the process of telling other people about him. We can make excuses. We can feel like, well, maybe now's not a good time, and I do believe that we need to pray for wisdom, but again, we need to stop making excuses of why we ought to wait, and we need to be active doing it, because you and I don't know what God has been doing in the mind and the heart and the soul and the spirit of those that we're talking to get them ready to respond. We need to learn to trust in the power of Christ's Holy Spirit working in their lives, and then be faithful to do what he's called us to do and to say what he's called us to say. Because again, it's his spirit that works in the mind and the heart and the soul of others. And that's what I'm trusting in this morning. As I'm sharing this message with you, I am trusting the power of Christ's Holy Spirit, because he knows you better than I do. He knows situations that you're going through right now that I don't, and he knows the thoughts in your head, and I don't, and I'm glad of that. But seriously, so he understands where you're at, and so I'm just going to trust what he knows about you and your openness to that, and I just want to be faithful in sharing the message. And by that, I hope to model for you how you can talk to coworkers or family members about Jesus. Here's what Jesus says about people coming to him by faith. It's recorded in John chapter 6, verse 44. These are Jesus' own words. He says, "No one can come to me unless God the Father who sent me draws him or her." So it really does take the pressure off of us. It's not me trying to be clever in my presentation, or, boy, I've really got this down in these illustrations and these sermons, and, boy, I'm going to go, and everybody's going to accept Jesus because of my great preparation. We know better than that, right? And I do the best I can. I pray. I ask God for direction, and I have his word, and then I present it to you like planting seed. Or maybe that seed has already been planted in your life, so as I'm sharing this word with you today, it's like water that's hitting that seed, or soil that's nurturing that seed. But it's God that does the work and makes that seed begin to spring up and to sprout and then to blossom and to bloom and to grow. And this is what Jesus is reminding us of. Nobody is going to come to Jesus because of your emphasis or, you know, your exuberance. It's only through the work of the Holy Spirit. So then that ought to encourage us to just simply be faithful in telling people about him and then leave the results up to him. Because we are in a partnership with God's Holy Spirit work. But it is a partnership. He does want to use you and I. Though no one can come to Christ unless God's Spirit draws them and prepares them, he wants to use you and I as his spokespeople, as his servants, so that others can know. Christ calls you and I to have a conversation with people about him. The Apostle Paul writes this in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17. And so he begins here. The Apostle Paul is talking about what God has already done through people who have lived generations before us and how God worked in their lives. And this is what Jesus was referring to when he was telling his disciples, you know, the fields are white unto harvest, and there were others who planted, and you're coming along now, and you're entering into labor with them. And so they started the process, but now you're going to get to come along, and you're going to get to be part of the end part of the process to help gather in, so to speak, the fruit of what others have done as God has worked in their lives, people coming to know Christ. So Jesus was actually referring here to how God had worked in generations previously through people like Noah and Abraham and Moses and the Israelites, and then through the prophets, King David and the nation of Israel, all of that. But then again, Daniel and Jeremiah and many prophets who taught about God and spread his word in the world. That was planting seed and preparing people, even for the time of Christ. And then even in Christ's time, over his lifetime, people were getting ready. They had heard the preaching of John the Baptist, get ready because God's doing something amazing here. We're not sure, but Messiah is coming. Get ready, prepare your hearts. And now here is Christ saying, at this point in time, I'm here now. Seed's been planted. People are ready. Be faithful in telling them about me. And of course, after Jesus even spoke those words to his disciples, he did die on the cross. He conquered death, rose again, encouraged his followers, see what I've done. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm ascending up into heaven. I'm sending my Holy Spirit into the world. I'm not going to leave you alone. I love you. I want to be in a relationship with you, and I want to be in a relationship with others, but I want to involve you in the partnership of this. I want you, as you trust in me, to tell others about me, and I'm not going to leave you. I'll be with you. So he ascended up into heaven, and then he sent his Holy Spirit into the world, and he is still working today. So when it says this now in Romans 10:13, it says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So it's important for us, now when it's saying the preacher, obviously you all are thinking about somebody like myself or other preachers you have heard or pastors or teachers, but simply what he's saying is, how can anyone hear the message if there's no messenger to give them the message? So you and I all, you may not think of yourself as a preacher, but you can be a messenger, And that's basically all this is talking about. So whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How can they call on him if they haven't believed? And how can they believe unless they have heard about him? And then how can they hear without a messenger, without somebody telling them? And then he goes on and he writes, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. We live in a world we know that is full of bad news. It abounds. And, of course, the catchphrase these days is not only bad news, but fake news. And there's just all kinds of news. And so it's hard to kind of sort through all of that to say, well, what is really true? And, you know, there's so much spin that's put on everything. Well, again, Jesus makes it very clear and concise. These are Jesus' words, not my words. You can read them for yourself in the scriptures. Jesus makes it real clear and simple. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's it. That's very clear, concise, simple. You can decide whether you believe that or not. And Jesus wanted it that way. He wants to state it clearly, and then he leaves the response up to you. Do you believe it or not? Jesus was able to do things to back up that claim through his miraculous power, through demonstrating his love and forgiveness as he hung on the cross, even those that were spitting on him and piercing his flesh with nails, and he was giving his life. He prayed and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is not normal. That has to be supernatural. A normal human being wouldn't do that. He proved that he is God in the flesh and that he was coming and has come to offer you his love, forgiveness, and grace. But you must come through him and him alone. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, that life part. Well, he died. Yeah, but 3 days later, bodily, he got up out of that tomb and he walked out alive. He conquered death. Top that, other world religious leaders. There is none. There's no other person in history that has done this. So the choice is, do you believe it or not? We've got plenty of eyewitnesses that saw him after he rose from the dead. They are recorded for us historically in the Bible. But you will hear some people say that's fake news. It didn't really happen. It was people that wanted to do whatever and get you to follow them. Well, just understand that his own followers, when he rose from the dead, they were skeptical and doubtful. They couldn't hardly believe it, even though he told them he was going to do it. In fact, his own followers had to be convinced when Jesus appeared before them and they saw it really was him. Then they were given a boldness because they knew this is true. This is not fake. This is real. And then they began to share this good news with others, and God's Holy Spirit watched over that. It was recorded. We still have it for us today that we can learn from and read about, and Christ is still speaking through his word to us today. The question is, are we going to believe it? Let me ask you, how many times did it take for you, if you are a follower of Jesus, how many times did it take you to hear about Jesus before you actually came to be a believer? Was it the first time, maybe the second, the third, the seventh? Was it more? I mean, in my life, I was fortunate to grow up in a home where at that point in time, my dad was actually a minister. He hadn't always been a minister. He was a factory worker, but he accepted Christ. God revolutionized his life, changed him, and he wanted to tell others, and he was called into ministry. So I grew up hearing about Jesus, but I was skeptical. I'm like, why should I believe this just because Dad believes it or just because Mom believes it? And I would get up on a morning like this and look out, and there was stuff on TV I wanted to watch. Remember, I'm of the age we didn't have internet and all that stuff, so, you know. But I would be like, I don't want to go to church today. So I'd stay in bed and pretend to be sick. Isn't that awful? I know you just can't believe that anybody would do that because you've never done anything like that, right? You've never made excuses to not want to come to boring church. So I'm just letting you know, this is the reality of, you know, I'm like everybody else. But what I found was when I did go and I experienced Christ's presence there in that gathering of believers, no matter what the church gathering was like, whether it was small or large, I sensed something of God's presence there. And so I was getting all this from different areas. I was getting it from my parents, both my mother and my father. I was getting it from other people in the church. There were a few friends I had that were believers, but a lot that weren't. And I was influenced by all of that. But I finally came to a point where I realized, no, this is true. I need to give my life to Christ. So I can't tell you how many times I heard, but at some point I responded. And I remember very clearly the day I gave my heart and life to Christ. And it was actually when my dad was bringing a message, maybe something like this, I don't know. But again, it wasn't just that one day, it was the culmination of what God had been doing in my life. So maybe that's you here today. Maybe you've grown up in church, heard a lot of things. I pray maybe today God will use this to be that oomph time that God's Spirit is speaking to your heart and you're ready to respond now to Him and to say, yes, Jesus, I want you in my life. I believe in you. I trust you. But the reason I share that with you is to say that there's not one single person throughout my life who tried to tell me about Jesus or wanted to influence me for Christ, whether they were, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, because we all are frail, sinful human beings. The point is, I know that God used all of those people. I can think of a youth pastor that God used in my life tremendously. I can think of some friends, and even in this one little country church that we went to for a while when I was a little guy. I'm still a little guy, but I'm old now. I'm an old little guy. Anyway, there was this one couple that would get up and sing. And it was one of those old country churches, and they sang those old hymns. And I was listening to rock music and everything else. But when they sang, I just saw something in their eyes and in their voice. And I'm like, that's real. They are really cool. And they inspired me. They, you know, so God can work through musicians, which we know that, we see that, but God will use so many different ways. I share all that to say, don't discount how God may be using you. You may feel like you're not doing much for Him. Be faithful. You're part of the process. Keep being willing to talk about Him, though. You need to have a conversation with others about Christ. Jesus said, one sows and another reaps, but we're both or all partners in the process of God's work. So just three things real quick I want to share with you about how we can share the message of Christ. But just before I do that, I want to give you a few statistics. I said at the beginning when we were doing the baptism with the children, there have been many surveys done over the course of several years. And the most recent one that was published was through the American Culture and Faith Institute. It was actually last fall, September, October of 2017. And it just continues to hold true what in America now, I'm not talking about in other parts of the world, but right now in America, what we find is the majority of individuals who come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, by that I mean, and these are people who have filled out these surveys, they believe Jesus is the Son of God, they believe He died on the cross for their sins personally, they believe He rose again, they believe that they are lost and going to hell without Him in their life, and He is their only hope of forgiveness and a home in heaven. So they have asked Christ to forgive them of their sins, come into their life. And it's not a result of them trying to earn their way to heaven, but it's all on what Jesus did for them. So that's what you would classify as a person, and they have asked Christ's Spirit to come into their life and to help them live for Him. So they classify that as a person who is acknowledging they're a born-again believer. So again, these are the person's words as they did these surveys. There were other people that responded in various ways, but here's the point. Of those who truly believed and are born again, that decision is generally made before you're 17 years old. 68% of the people surveyed. Now again, it's just a sampling, it's just a survey, they're not perfect, so you know, don't go crazy with all this. But it does give us an idea. And I think you know it to be true that when we're younger, we're more open to learning things. We're more open to being taught. The older we get, we start thinking we've got this figured out. We get a little bit harder to teach, and we get a little more stubborn. We get a little more set in our ways and our thinking. We get a little more hard in our heart. And so when we get to an older age, it's kind of like, well, who are you to tell me? You know, back off. Some of you might be feeling that right now in this message. Hey, that's fine. I'm still going to tell it. But the point is, so we tend to be more tender and open at a younger age. And that's when Christ moves and works. But you can accept Christ at any age. There are people that accept Christ in their 20s and 30s and 40s and on up, but the percentages do begin to tail off. So that's why we invest so heavily in children's ministry and working with parents of young kids here at Porterfield, because that is the harvest. Fields are white and ripe unto harvest. But we want to reach everybody for Christ. So we want to minister to all ages, but we put a heavy emphasis there because that's where the reaping is coming. There's another thing that you need to understand that's important in these statistics. Of people, no matter what age they are, who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, 50% of individuals that have come to faith in Christ have done so because either of the influence of their parents or a family member or a close friend. 50% of all people that trust Christ as Savior, it's because of a relationship they've had with somebody else who is a believer in Christ and has in some way shared the message with them. Now, we all know that we're imperfect people, we're fallible, and that's why I want to set this up by saying, how do you talk to other people about Jesus? And sometimes, as followers of Christ, we're afraid to talk about Jesus because we know our own sins and our own struggles and failures and faults, and so we think, who are we to be telling somebody else about Jesus? I think about that every single week, folks. Yesterday, I spent some serious time in prayer about that very thing. Because I know my weaknesses, God knows my weaknesses, and I think, who am I to be standing before people and telling them about you, Jesus? But it's because I've experienced his grace and his forgiveness in my life that makes me excited to say he offers that forgiveness and grace ongoing, and he helps me to face temptations and trials, and he helps me to overcome them. And I'm still a work in progress. And so if you feel like you're messed up, hey, join the crowd. I'm messed up too, but I'm learning to follow him. And by his power, he's helping me. And I want to see him help you because this is real. So first of all, we need to share the message relationally. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. The Apostle Paul writes this, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." Right there gives us the key. You see, Paul didn't say, hey, we're coming in and we're telling you about Jesus. See you later. Good luck. We're on our way. He said, no, we're here and we're not here to brag about ourselves. We're here to tell you about Jesus because he's the one that changes lives. And we want you to know that we take this so seriously. We want to serve you. We want to be here to be his hands and feet. We want to listen to you. We want to help you. We want you to see Christ's love working through us to make a difference in your life, to help you, because this matters. It's real. We need each other. So we need to be willing to share the message relationally. I'm glad that we're live streaming. That's great. The word is getting out to many people. But if you're watching this live stream and you're sitting by yourself somewhere and you're not connected with the body of believers, you're missing the whole point, because we got to be relational. We need to be here where we can talk to each other and pray for each other and encourage each other. So we are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made the light shine in our hearts to give us the light and the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. This leads us into the next thing. We, even as saved individuals that have Christ in our life, we are still frail and we are weak without Christ, in our own flesh, in our own efforts, and we are open to all kinds of temptation. And so we need the power of Christ in our life, but yet we have this treasure, this amazing good news of Christ that we carry within us. Even though it's a weak, frail vessel, it's an amazing truth. And that's why we give Christ all the glory, and that leads us into the next point. We need to share the message of Christ relationally, but we also need to share it realistically. Like I said, I'll go ahead and advance that slide. We need to share the message realistically. In Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 6, I shared this last week. The Apostle Paul says this as he's writing to the church, and he says, "At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another." That's the reality. You know, this morning I'm looking out over the crowd that's here, and everybody's dressed up and, you know, looks nice in whatever clothes you have on. Thank you for wearing clothes. But anyway, with whatever your outfits are, but everybody comes in, they try to have a smile on their face, and I know there's a time and a place for everything, but we look at each other and we're like, oh yeah, there's a nice couple, there's a nice family. And the truth is, you all are a mess. You're a wreck. I know it because I get your texts and I get your phone calls through the week. Mark, can we come in for counseling? Please pray about this. Oh my gosh, this is going on in my life. You all are a mess. And I say that in love. And you know, the truth is, there's weeks I'm really a mess too. And sometimes my kids get messed up and extended members of my family get messed up. And yet we all come to church. Hi, good to see you. Good morning. And like I say, there is a time and a place for everything. But until we start getting real, until we start sharing the message of Christ in a real way to say, you know what? I'm a mess. My kids right now are not where I believe they ought to be or I want to see them be. And quite frankly, right now, I'm not where I want to be. My marriage is a wreck. My job situation is terrible. Yada, yada, on and on and on it goes. But here's how the power of the gospel can shine through that in a powerful way. You can say, even though all those things are happening in my life, praise God, I have a strength in Christ. I can face these problems I'm going through. I can deal with my imperfections because I know God is still working on me and I'm asking him for help and strength. And I've got people at church that will actually listen to my problems and pray for me. I don't have to put on a face at church. I mean, now, yeah, some people, like I say, you got to know who you can open up to, but this is why the church exists. We need to be listening to one another, praying for one another, and build an atmosphere here in a culture where people can feel safe to open up and talk about what's going on in their life without feeling like they're being judged or they're put down. And until the church realizes this, we will never reach our full potential. It's what Christ called us to do. Now, does that sound real? I don't know about you, but to me, that sounds appealing. And I don't want to give you a false impression because here, you know, we are a mess, but here's the good news in Titus chapter 3, verse 4, put that slide up. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. There it is. I am so glad that God is patient with me and merciful. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So we need to be willing to have a conversation about Christ with people. We need to do it relationally, and we need to be honest about it and realistic to say, I know, I'm messed up. Who am I to be telling you this? But he gives me a hope that the world cannot give, and I can't find it anywhere else. I can't just wait for the next election cycle and hope somebody else is elected into office, and that's no slam on anybody that's in office right now, local, national, international. What I'm saying is if you're waiting on the government to fix things, you're waiting on the wrong solution. Hey, we got an amen. I think I struck a chord there. But Christ offers something this government cannot offer and something the world cannot give. That's why this is so important. And now it brings us to the third and the final thing. We need to be willing to share the message responsibly. There is a responsibility to this. Because if you don't take the relationship with Christ seriously, then how do you expect somebody else to take it seriously? If you say, well, yeah, Mark, I know all this. I prayed when I was a kid. I asked Jesus into my life. And, you know, so got that box checked. I'm on my way. But are you trying to grow in your knowledge of him? Are you trying to grow in your understanding of him? Are you trying to be sensitive to how he wants to use you? Or are you just going on your own merry way trying to live life the way you want? That's why so many Christians today lack power in their lives and an effective witness, because they're not taking their relationship with Christ seriously enough. So why should anybody else take it seriously? So we need to share the message of Christ responsibly. And the Apostle Peter says this: we, after we come to know Christ, we're saved by his grace, not our works. But once we have received that grace and we know we're saved, we need to grow in that grace. We need to take it serious enough to say, well, I want to learn more about Christ. I want to learn how he would have me speak and live. And I don't want to just be all about me all the time and myself. I need to learn, Jesus, what do you want me to do? Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. So we need to do this. In 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter also says this, in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Take him seriously. Let him be the focal point. Go ahead and put that slide up. I think we got a slide here. In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Always be prepared. That means that you need to take it seriously enough to put forth some effort. So just in closing, I'm going to give you real quick some scriptures that will just help equip you to know if somebody would ask you, well, what do you believe about Jesus, or what does the Bible say about Jesus? So if you'll go ahead and put that up like we did in the first service, these are just some scripture references. If you want to jot these down or take a screenshot or whatever of the screen right now. But this in a nutshell, there's so much more I want to talk about this, but this is why I'm highlighting this today. Along with the survey that was taken of when people accept Christ, it's pretty alarming, but the church in America, now not around the world, but in America today, people who claim to be born again Christians, only about 40% or so of them feel it's important to tell somebody else about Jesus. Let that sink in. And I wouldn't be surprised if we took a survey right now that less than half of you might be saying, well, yeah, I mean, it's important to accept Jesus, but do I really have to talk about him? Is it really that important? Or you'd go, oh, yeah, it's important to talk about Jesus. When was the last time you talked to somebody about Jesus? Oops. See, it's one thing in your mind to think you're serious, to think you're talking, to think you're doing all this, but what are your actions saying? So this is serious, and this is why I'm challenging you, because in America today, there are many churches who are not being challenged to share their faith. And so I want to be one of those who stands for Christ and says, I'm going to stand for him. I'm going to tell others about him. They can call me a fool. They can say I'm ridiculous. They can say whatever they want to say about me, but I'm going to stand for Christ. How about you? And I'm going to let the Holy Spirit work, and it's not based on my ability. That's very evident. If anybody gets saved because of listening to me speak, it's got to be all the Holy Spirit. So trust in Christ's Spirit and be willing to speak up. And many churches are not equipping people to share their faith. So again, we do a whole series on this, but today I just want to give you a few verses to get you started if you don't already know these. First of all, John 3:16, it's a familiar verse. And these are the words of Jesus himself. For God so loved the world, and when it says the world, it's not talking about trees and plants and animals. It's talking about people who rejected him, who are away from him. The people of the world that even rejected him, he so loved them. He loves us. He loves everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then Jesus said right after that, it's recorded, you can read on, but just focus on John 3:16. But he said after that, he said, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved through Christ. But then he gives a warning and he says, whoever does not believe is condemned already, because they have not believed in the one and only that God has sent into the world. You see, here's the thing about God. Because he created everything and because he is a God of truth and he is a God of justice, that means that that justice brings about judgment, and so judgment has to deal with wrongdoing. And there's not a single person listening to my voice right now that can say they've lived their whole life perfectly before God and never done anything wrong. So guess what? We all stand condemned before God's holiness and his righteousness. So as a righteous God, he has to judge it. But here's the good news, because he is a loving God and a merciful God, he paid the price for his own judgment through himself, through Jesus Christ. This is why Christ died on the cross. He gave his perfect, sinless life for our sinful life. He gave his righteousness for our unrighteousness, his holiness for our unholiness. And then he conquered death, which is the curse of sin and all of those things, so that we could know that the price that he paid satisfied God in all of his totality. And through faith in him, if we receive Christ as our Savior, we then know that we are out from under the judgment of God. We can enter into peace and a relationship with God. There's no other religion in the world that teaches this, folks. Search it out. Tell me if I'm wrong. There's no other religion in the world. This stands alone. So that, to me, lends some truth to it. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There it is. We're all sinners. We're all in the same boat, so I can't judge you. You shouldn't judge me. God's our judge, and we're a mess. That's what I said. We're a wreck. But the good news is, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but here's the good news, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. He offers it, but like any gift, if we're going to make use of it, we got to be willing to receive it. And you do that by faith, believing. Believe, believe, believe. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 and 10. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we're proclaiming. It's what I'm proclaiming to you right now. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with the heart you believe and are justified, because you can say a lot with your mouth and not believe it in your heart. God knows your heart. He knows your soul. He knows your spirit. So it's with your heart that you believe and are justified through Christ with God. But it's with your mouth then that you need to match that up and confess what you believe, that Jesus is Lord. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved from an eternity separated from God, and saved for an eternity with God. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. People that do not want God in their life, they want nothing to do with God, or they put him way down on the chain, and then somehow they think when they die they're going to go to heaven. Just think about that. Does that really make sense? If you're listening to this message today and you want to go to heaven, but you want nothing to do with God right now, God's going to give you what you want. If you want nothing to do with God, then when you die, he's going to say, you wanted nothing to do with me, so there you go. Off to hell you go. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? But doesn't it make sense? God's basically giving us what we want. You see, you got to stop playing the game. You got to stop being fooled in your own mind and deceived with your own thinking. You either take this seriously or you don't. So if you want to spend eternity with God and you don't want to be apart from him in a place of torment, because wherever God is not, there's not good stuff happening. So if you don't want to be in that place, if you want to be with God, then today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to open your heart and trust Christ and receive the gift, the free gift that he has given you. And if you'll receive that gift, he has promised he will forgive you, he will come in, he will cleanse you of your sin. That's what 1 John 1:8 and 9 says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't know about you, but I need cleansed on a regular basis. And I'm not talking just about my sin now, I'm talking about my body. We all need cleansed on a regular basis. And this is what Christ offers us spiritually through his shed blood, a continual cleansing every day. And it's available if we just will trust him and learn to walk in that. So if you really want to spend eternity in heaven and to be with God, then start learning how to live with him now, because he offers his presence. Would you stand? So God has given us all a responsibility, and I'm using a play on words there, because he gives you the ability to respond. But he does give you that choice. So right now, if you're here and you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, or you're listening to this and you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, I'm happy to help you. You can pray in whatever way, but I'm going to pray a prayer, and if this resonates with your soul and your spirit, say it with me, and asking Christ to come into your life. Would you pray? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me so much that you left the glories of heaven and became human. You took on flesh and blood, and you gave your life on the cross of Calvary for my sin. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins personally and that you rose again. Thank you for conquering death. I don't understand it all, but Lord, I believe. Help me to grow in my understanding of this belief. Help me, Lord, to live for you. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to live for you. Help me make the changes in my life that I need to make. And Lord, you make the changes I'm unable to make. Thank you for saving me. And teach me now how to live with you and for you. Thank you for saving me.